Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the RFP Ultra Dads podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike Ubaldini, joined by my partner and fellow Ultra Dad, Brian Shane, talking all things Ultra. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by our sponsor, Time on the Trails, building you a customized journey and experience out on the trails throughout the state of Arizona and beyond. You can find Time on the Trails at www.tottaz.com. Again, www.tottaz.com. Now sit back, grab a tasty beverage, and enjoy Brian and I as we progress further down the trails. Left foot, right foot. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the RFP podcast, episode number 287, Ultra Dad session number 95. It has been some time. I think it was November when we last put something out. Yeah, it's just, life's getting in the way. And in all honesty, it hasn't really been a priority to get content out there, obviously. But we're doing the best we can. It was great. Brian and I were able to connect yesterday and talk for about an hour and just catching up on life. So hopefully we'll be able to, him and I think we have some good things to put out there together. Some of the things that, we're driving through and navigating, and I think it would be pretty helpful for some folks to hear a lot of vulnerability and just, a lot of good things, a lot of things that are making us grow and test some limits and become better. So I think that's always a good thing, as we navigate and go on this journey. So, but the reason I'm reaching out today and wanted to share, it's really about being a dad, being a proud parent. It's about, a metaphor with racing, with ultra marathons. I've always said on here quite often that it's a metaphor for life. And I've also shared on here that Robin and I have been blessed with two really, wonderful, wonderful girls, daughters, women, as they're becoming, and just to see them go through their journey, and navigate their obstacles and see them grow and really become the humans that they're becoming, the people that they're becoming. Robin and I have tried to invest in training them to become great adults and leave the house. And as our youngest now enters in, as we're entering to April on Monday, she pretty much has another month and a half left of her senior year, and then she's going to matriculate to college on the East Coast, and she's going to play soccer out there. And that's kind of what this is about. Our other daughter, as we've announced on here, she's in Iowa going to school, and she's finishing up her undergrad after 2 years and then starting her graduate classes next fall. So there's a lot of things we're blessed and grateful for. It's with respect to this story that I'll share. And I kind of touched on a little bit of it in the past with Elena, who's our youngest. And that's the one that's graduating high school and going to college next year. And the story is really around her journey with soccer, but it's really the journey she has been on to become the person she is. And there's some content around that, obviously. So, back east, where the girls spent the majority of their childhood, 11, 12 years, that's where they essentially grew up, right? Both of them were involved in soccer and gymnastics for pretty much the majority of that time. Elena got into a little bit of softball. Bella got into a little bit of lacrosse. Lacrosse. I was lacrosse field hockey, but it was lacrosse. So they dabbled in some other sports as they were growing up, but pretty much they focused on gymnastics and soccer. Bella kind of gravitated mostly towards gymnastics as we got closer and closer to moving to Arizona in 2018. And Elena kind of was doing both. She even in the wintertime, she did futsal. So she was in a gym playing soccer. She just really had a passion for it. And it was really cool to see both of them express their passion and their willingness to want to be better and invest time in becoming better. So it was a cool journey to see. When we moved out to Arizona, there was a shift, right? Because Bella was focused 100% on gymnastics. And she was spending 25, 26 hours, 27 hours in the gym along with school with her other responsibilities too. And Elena needed to really come down to make a decision. And because it just wasn't going to be, it was going to be very, very logistically challenging as well as time challenging for her to commit to both soccer and gymnastics. So she ended up focusing and foregoing, sacrificing gymnastics and focusing 100% in soccer. So made that decision, and it's interesting, and it's just wild as we sit here today looking back on almost 6 years ago, when it was around this time of year where Robin was speaking to coaches out here in Arizona to set up tryouts for some of the club teams. And we found a team, or I should say she found a team, because this is a lot of work that she was doing. And I was just kind of the sounding board on the background. But, you know, she was able to coordinate these tryouts when we were coming out in August. We thought about maybe coming out in May, because that's when the real tryouts were happening. But we decided against it, and they were flexible here in Arizona. The club was flexible here to say, hey, listen, just come when you come out in August, we'll set something up. So we were able to set that up. And this is where the story kind of really starts. That was the framework and the foundation I laid for it. But, you know, the girls spent the summer back east, hanging out with friends, the friends they grew up with, you know, considering we were moving them across country. And it was an all in decision, you know, and at the time we were making the decision, everybody was all in, but we'll get to some of that moving forward here in the story. So fast forward to when we moved out, we literally picked up Elena and Bella from the airport. I think it was a few days before school started and before Elena's tryout. So she basically spent the summer hanging out with friends and not putting much time into investing much time into practicing or doing anything soccer related, which at this point she was 11 years old. So, you know, we weren't expecting her to do that. And in all honesty, we had no real idea and understanding of the level of soccer here in Arizona, because it's night and day compared to what we were used to back east. You know, back east, Elena was, and I'll just say it, she was kind of like king shit on the team. You know, she pretty much played the majority of the time all since she was five. She was constantly playing, so she gravitated towards working at it and becoming better, and she was arguably one of the better players on the team, and not discounting any of the other players, but you know, she put in the work to do that. And I think it had more to do with the passion that she had, and she really loved and enjoyed the sport. So we come out here and we go to the first tryout, and it was crazy because it was like 105 degrees at night. She had been in Arizona probably for about 48 hours, not really in shape and ready to go. Again, 11, 12 years old. And she made it halfway through, and I don't know, she'll probably kill me for telling you this. She made it halfway through, and she was done. She was upset. She was emotional, and she was coming off the field saying she's never going to play again. She didn't want to play. She hates it. She's done. A little dramatic. I wonder where she gets that from. We're like, okay, you know, I remember I did get upset, which was, it was the wrong reaction. And that was what it was. It was a reaction. And, you know, you made the commitment to try out. So let's go through the tryout. And she didn't, she left, we left. The next morning we woke up and we did whatever it is that we were doing. And later in the day, I see her getting things ready, her soccer stuff ready. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm getting ready to go to my tryout. Could you take me? And this kind of, I remember it kind of was like, that's pretty cool. You know, she was pretty much at her wit's end. And the night before, just 24 hours ago, and now she's going after it again, which I thought was pretty cool. And, you know, it was, and to this day, I don't think we've ever really, I never really talked to her about it at that point in time of what changed her mind. But, you know, being a 11, 12 year old kid, you know, there's a lot of things that go through your mind. And I can't sit here and justify what and validate what it was, but something. And again, I think it was that passion and that love for the sport. And maybe it was that commitment to the sport rather than I'm going to play soccer and do gymnastics. It was, I committed to soccer, I'm going to do soccer. So she did. And she went and she made one of the teams. And there's, you know, probably four or five different levels. You know, there's the king shit level, you know, and then subsequent lower ones. And she was kind of in the mid tier. We'll say it was the BC level team. And it's crazy because today on her, I mean, we're back into club for the next month and a half, 2 months. And she's still with four or five of the girls she started with that at that tryout with. So again, that's a testament to all of these girls and the time and effort they put into it and the growth and evolution they've been able to go through over the course of the last 6 years. So that was back in 2018, right? That was in August 2018. And over the years, she's, you know, she played club. That was her seventh grade year, eighth grade year. Obviously, her freshman year, she played JV and then high school through the high school. And then sophomore year, junior and senior year, she played high school. Out here, it's essentially from August to November, you're in club. November to February, it's high school. And then February to pretty much May, you're in club again. And that's kind of the way the soccer season plays out, or the soccer year, I should say, plays out. So it's not common, but she, for her club, she, it would actually, this is pretty wild too, because I think this has a very good this has something to do with the fact that she grew the way she did, because there was consistency in coaching. So for her first four years here, she had the same club coach. And then her freshman year in high school, she had the freshman coach. And then her sophomore year, that freshman coach became the varsity coach. So in high school, she had the same coach for all 4 years. So obviously there was a super foundation built, a great connection and a great relationship through those years. Although both coaches and Elena might argue at some points in time, because, you know, I saw it. She batted heads with both of them. And I think that was a healthy relationship because I believe they knew how to coach her to help her get better. And she knew how to want to be coached to get better. So over the years with club, she continued to evolve and get better, not only just by focusing and working on the actual skill of playing soccer, but she also put other work in, and that's the work into the gym. You know, there was, I remember during the COVID times, you know, soccer was still going on and they had to play with masks her freshman year. It was crazy. Maybe it was like that across the country too. If you guys were able to play, we were able to play out here, but the girls had to wear a mask as they're playing soccer for high school for her JV team. But that year I could remember she would be going out for a run after her school was done before practice. And then after practice, some of the girls would go lift. So, and she did that throughout high school, and you could see her level of skill improve, the way she handled the ball, the fundamentals. And I don't know the first thing about soccer, right? But I know what I was able to see, and I could see her getting better. I could see her play being better. I could see her being crisper. I could see her knowing the game. The other component to it as well is that, fortunately, in this day and age, back when we were in school, that was the big video cameras, the camcorders that, you know, our families or parents or whatever used. I remember Mr. Cook and Jimmy Cook out there with the camera all the time back in our days. But now they have pretty much all their games, whether it's high school or club, they're recorded. It's a service that we pay for, you know, the families pay for as part of our fees. But you have access, the kids have access to pretty much every game. Pretty much every high school game these days are now televised on the school station. So she had access to all of her games, all of that video, and she leveraged it. She took advantage of it, and there was hours and hours, and I would go by her room, and she'd be in her bed. She'd be in her bed looking at video, looking at the game, studying them. And, you know, it didn't go unnoticed by me. It didn't go unnoticed by her mom. And the reason I'm sharing this is just because I am really proud of her. I'm proud of the work and the effort she put in to get to where she is and to become who she has become today, not just as a soccer player, but as a human being, because I think who she is as a human being, who she is as a soccer player is definitely attributed to, who she is as a human being is, there's definitely characteristics that are attributed to her as a soccer player that helped and evolve and develop her as a human being. That hard work, that commitment, that perseverance, you know, because, you know, she was on that mid-level team for a couple years, and she was trying out for those higher level teams, and it just wasn't happening until she started putting in that extra work right around that freshman year, and then she started escalating. She's been the captain of her club team the last 2 years. She was the captain of her high school team this year. She got some very nice accolades regionally, on the team itself too, for high school this year, her senior year. And it's all come to fruition, right? And what makes me the most proud, gives me a lot of the most joy and fulfillment with Elena is, you know, there was conversations her freshman and sophomore year that you could see it, you could hear it, that she had a desire that she wanted to play in college, but the confidence wasn't there, the belief wasn't there, that she was good enough in her, right? For me, I saw the improvements. And again, I don't know the first thing about talent in soccer or soccer in general, but I saw her evolving as a better player, and I saw her putting in the work and the effort each year, and I saw it literally paying off on the field. And, you know, I could understand how that relates to the next level. I get it. And that's what you need to do. You need to do that extra work before practice and after practice to get you above and beyond all the other people that are competing for those spots on those college teams. So she continued to put forth that effort. She continued to show up each day and put that work in and be consistent. And you could see each season, whether it was because that's what we broke it down to, really. It's the fall club season, then high school, and then the spring club season. And each season, broken down into thirds, you could see, one, the evolution and the growth. You could see the work, and you could see that, you know, I kind of saw it, that belief, a sense of belief. You know, it was her junior year where she asked if she could. Hey, Dad, do you think I could play? I said, yeah, I think you certainly have an opportunity. You've certainly been putting in the work to help, But I don't think she was at that point. Plus, I'm her father. Of course, I'm going to say that, right? But I wouldn't have said that if I didn't believe it, right? If she wasn't putting in the work and I didn't see the her evolution, I would have never said to her that, yes, she could play. When she was younger, those freshmen and sophomore years, I said, yeah, 100% it's possible, but you're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to put in that extra effort. And that was really the end of that conversation. She didn't ask me what was the effort, what work do I had to do. She figured it out herself. She really did figure it out herself. And again, that's what gives me that proud, that pride, that sense of fulfillment and joy for her, because she was able to come to determination herself, to come to the realization that this is what I want and I'm going to go for it. Now, fast forward to August of last year, that's when she said, I want to play soccer in college. And that's when my wife and I said, all right, let's talk to the coaches. And by the way, you're like a year behind where you need to be from a recruiting perspective. So she was kind of a little bit behind the eight ball because, you know, most people that are looking to really play in college are that summer of their junior year or that junior year, that's where they're putting in the work. And you know, we saw it, the downside of waiting, because the possibilities and opportunities were limited. We looked at some, she really wanted to go to school in California. As there is a huge difference in the level of soccer between Pennsylvania and Arizona, there is another difference between Arizona and California. One, the amount of people and the kids that are in doing it is huge, obviously, because the state's so much bigger. But there's just a lot of talent, and out in California, there's not a huge amount of there's no Division II or Division III soccer schools in the state of Arizona that we are aware of, and we did the research. There is some in California, but there's much more on the East Coast. The opportunity was bigger on the East Coast. Plus, you're later. You know, being in you're a year behind. So there were some schools that she got a look from. They just had their rosters filled. And, you know, I'll give credit to the club team. They made a decision that they were going to go back in October to a tournament back in Virginia. And at this point, Elena had spent 3 months, pretty much August, September, and, you know, October, 2 months, reaching out to coaches, sending videos. She set up her Instagram video thing, which, again, back in the day, it was tapes and VHS tapes, and now it's all on Instagram. But she set up all her reels and everything she needed to do and made her recruiting videos, if you will. And again, she got some interest, and she reached out to a couple coaches back east, and a couple coaches actually came down to watch her in the tournament. And then we fortunately were able to coordinate a visit to a couple of these schools back east. And, you know, there was a heavy interest from one. And it was just the opportunity surfaced. They needed her position. They had a senior graduating, and, you know, there was a tremendous opportunity, and the opportunity and the interest was voiced. And, you know, but Elena still had that little bit of a desire to be west, be in California. You know, the school is Penn State Berks. It's a Penn State. She'll get a Penn State degree. It's a Division III school, which she wanted to be Division III or Division II. She got everything she wanted. And the coach is a great guy, and it seems like he's really interested in her playing. You know, made her an offer and a commitment, and she's on her way there. So that's exciting. You know, it's really exciting. But she didn't want to be in Pennsylvania. You know, and I, you know, it was some interesting conversations, because, you know, you're like, well, you got everything you wanted, and it's just not where you wanted it. So. And we laid out options too for her. You know, nothing lasts forever. You know, it will pass. You know, if she goes there and it's, it's not the fit that she thinks it is, then there's decisions we can make, you know? But there was the gratitude point of it. You know, there was, look at what you've done. You set out on a mission, something you, if you wind back the clock to 6 years ago when she had that tryout and she came off that field, and I look at her today and the level of confidence and the player she's become and the human being that she's become, you know, I believe she'll tell you this too, that if we didn't move to Arizona, she probably wouldn't have been in this situation. She wouldn't have had this opportunity. That's what she says. And I tend to agree with it but I don't know, you know, you just don't know. It would have been other opportunities. You know, both of them would have figured out their own opportunities. That's what we do. But to look back and reflect on where and who she was 6 years ago to who she and where she's come from in the last 6 years, she set out on a mission and she got her mission. And granted, it didn't go the ideal way, but none of this shit does, right? And I couldn't be more proud of her and the level of effort she put in, but for her to figure it out herself. Not that we weren't here for her. You know, with Elena, she's not one to ask for help all the time. She does in certain situations. But there's countless times I've heard her, "Well, Dad, I got to figure this out myself. Honey, you want some help with that? You want to talk about it? No, I just got to figure it out myself." And she did. She did. And now we're going to be talking about, over the course of the next 4 or 5 months, how she's going to have to figure some other shit out herself, being by her, you know, living on her own for the first time. And but, you know, she's done some of that over the years. But, you know, the whole purpose of me putting this out is just really to explain that story about this particular journey, Elena's particular journey. And, you know, I don't know. And I've done it. I've been guilty of protecting and shielding, and trying to, ensure they're making the right decisions, you know, again, protecting them. But I'm trying to ensure they're making the right decisions. But who the hell am I to determine what's a right decision for them or what's a wrong decision for them? You know, I could have been an ass and told her, "No, you're staying in gymnastics and you're going to do soccer." But that's not my decision. That's her journey. That's her life. You know, we could have, you know, am I happy that? Yes, I'm 100% happy that she's going back east to school in Pennsylvania. She's going to Penn State. Come on, that's pretty freaking awesome. I got a daughter at Iowa and a daughter at Penn State. And, you know, there's jokes about me painting my chest and wearing different half Iowa and half Penn State stuff when they play each other. But that's not going to happen. Those of you who have seen me at the Iowa-Penn State match over the last month, I was in Penn State. So that's not going to happen. I love you, Bella, but no. Against anybody else, I'll wear Iowa gear, but not against Penn State. So I'm incredibly happy and proud of her and fulfilled and joyful. It's awesome. It's really great. It sucks that she's going to be across the country because she's going to be that far away. But there's that positive spin to it. And this came into discussions too. I mean, she came up and she's like, how are you going to feel about it? And we told her, it's like, honey, this has nothing to do with us. You know, this has absolutely nothing to do with us. And I think she got frustrated because we really were not in those conversations. We really weren't giving her what she wanted. She wanted direction. She wanted an answer. And, you know, we really were steadfast in stating that, listen, honey, this is your decision. Yeah, it'd be wonderful to have you close, but you don't have an opportunity like that in California or anywhere locally here in on the West Coast. The best opportunity you have is back in Pennsylvania. And we have such a infrastructure back there. We have such a community. We have family. We have friends that, I mean, essentially friends that are family. I mean, hour away, 90 minutes away, half an hour away, you know. There's such a support structure versus being in California. We know people, but it's not the same. We're an hour flight away versus a 5-hour flight away. Yeah, that's, but again, it's not our journey. It's not our decision to make, and it has nothing to do about the right or wrong on our side of the fence. You know, it's her decision, and she had to believe that this was the best fit for her, and she has come to that conclusion. And we really couldn't be more proud of both of our girls, you know, because of the human beings they're becoming, the adults that they're becoming. I'm bragging about my daughters, because, you know, this is something special. And I've been sitting here waiting and thinking about putting this out there, for 2 months now. And then Penn State Berks released the Welcome to Elena, which is the picture you'll see on the post when I put it out there. It's just been a really cool journey. It's been a really, I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of this and witness this for her, for both of them, but for Elena, just because of, again, 6 years ago, where she was at and where her mind was at, and seeing the fucking work that she put in, man, over the course of the last 4 years to work on her craft, to practice her craft, and to see how passionate she is about the sport, how much she loves the sport, how much she loves playing it. You know, yeah, there's times she's frustrated, there's times she's pissed off, you know, there's times she's angry. I mean, and you know, some of that she wears her emotions on her sleeve, and some of that gets the better of her. And that's something she's going to have to work on. And hopefully the coaches at Berks work on that with her, because that's part of an area where she could continue to grow and be a leader. She's been able to become one on and off the field. And I'm just really excited to see who she ends up becoming and how soccer continues to help her evolve as a human being. Because it's been a really cool journey to watch. And I'm so proud that she gets to play 4 more years, hopefully, knock on wood, 4 more years. It's just been a really cool journey. So I wanted to put this out. I wanted to share that love and that story. Cause I think it's important to share these stories about our kids, and the work they put in. You know, I've seen a couple friends with some of their kids over the course of the last several months, and you know, how they're going to school and they're playing sports. And I think it's great. I think it's great for any type of skill and talent and passion and love that you might have, whether it's sports, whether it's academics, whether it's music or art. You know, we're talking about sports here because the basis for, you know, basis for the podcast is around ultra marathoning and racing. And, you know, my life has been pretty much centered around sports, pretty much all of it. So that's just where this one goes. But, you know, I don't take away anything that the other kids out there are doing with regards to their passions and talents in so many other fields. I think it's really a joy to see the light click on and kids get it that, hey, listen, if I work my ass off, if I commit to this and I put in the time and effort and stay consistent, it's going to pay off. Whether that's a sport, whether that's an instrument and music, whether that's art, whether that's business, whatever it is, whether it's gaming, you know, whatever that passion might be, you know, to see kids realize that, yeah, it's really that simple, but it's not easy. It's simple that I just have to work my ass off. If I put in the work, that work is eventually going to pay off. It might not be in the manner and in the path and in the journey that I expected to be, but if I let that shit go and I put in the time and effort and I stay consistent with it and I dig deep, I'm going to get to where I want to be. I'm going to become who I need to be. And seeing these kids, teenage kids, realize that and get that, it's really a special thing, because that's going to carry with them for a long, long time into adulthood, into their careers, into whatever those passions might be down the road. And I wanted to make that point across. You know, it was just, it's been fun to see. It's been fulfilling to see. And we're excited to see where the journey continues to go. So wanted to share that with you. It's Thursday before Easter. It's Good Friday tomorrow. So everybody go out there and have a happy holiday weekend. Be safe. Share it with loved ones. Enjoy yourself. Take care of those kids. They're pretty amazing. They are able to figure some shit out that hindsight being 2020, if I knew what these kids knew then. And I guess that's a product of the generations past. So, but thanks for tuning in. Again, we'll do our best to get these out, but I wanted to share this because it would have been a long blog article and I didn't feel like writing it. So I just figured I'd talk and I babbled and went all over the place, but hopefully you folks get something out of it, a nugget or two, and have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Love you guys. Appreciate all the support and the attention. And if there's things you want to talk about, hit us up. Take care.